It looks like you're separating yourselves if you do that. You know, if you cut out the meetings here, it looks like, oh, we're not important anymore. It looks like that to the people, the citizens. So anyway, we want you to come to the South End.
With the growth in population here on the peninsula, I would hope that the number of meetings held here would increase rather than be stopped altogether. I'm going to quote from a Gulf Breeze News article dated December 5th, 2013. "This was a long time coming," said Commissioner Lynchard. "For years, we needed a center that would serve the needs of our community."
So the question had been raised in previous meetings about the viability of continuing to have quarterly-ish Santa Rosa County Commission meetings at the Tiger Point Community Center. The main issue has been a couple of different things. Number one, you heard David talking about this a little bit. One issue is just the total inability to put on a good meeting technically, that they, you know, don't have the equipment. It doesn't come out right. I can't tell you the number of times when I've watched the commission meeting at Tiger Point and the stream is not happening. The stream is weird. Even in the one that they did yesterday, you might not be able to hear it, but the audio quality is very bad. They got a bad cable somewhere in there that's putting noise out, and it's a low quality, and it just is. And it's not like when they do it at the main headquarters up in Milton, when everything is clean and tested and you know, goes properly. So they have issues in Tiger Point. Also, because it's so far away from Milton where the staff often is, it takes long for them to get there. It takes a long time to set up the equipment because you can't just go in and pop a button and go like you can up in Milton. And so you have a variety of issues. And also, not to be left unnoticed, having a meeting in Tiger Point means having a meeting that's another, 45 minutes to an hour farther from anybody in the North End, anybody in, you know, Milton, Jay, Munson, whatever, it's farther for them to get. Now, the truth is that if you have a meeting in Milton, that's far from the people in Gulf Breeze and Midway and Tiger Point and Navarre. You know, it's hard to get, like, the problem you're dealing with here in part is a problem of it's set up to work in Milton and anywhere else is not really equipped, genuinely, that's the right word, not equipped to work properly. And the other problem you have is that Santa Rosa County shouldn't be one county. I mean, I don't mean to belabor the obvious. We've talked about this many times, but if you look at Santa Rosa County and you look at the ways to get from one part of that county to the north to the south and south to the north, it's basically you got Garson Point Bridge and Highway 87. It's two separate counties. It's the beach / water south area, and it's the north area, and they really shouldn't be a single county, but they are. So what do you do about that? Well, that's a challenge. In fact, honestly, and we've talked about this before, but if you were to take Santa Rosa and Escambia County and start from scratch and draw county boundaries, you'd never draw it the way it exists. What you'd probably do is you'd probably pick, and I-10 might even be a little bit too far north of a boundary, but you'd basically turn the north of I-10 into a county in both counties, and you turn the south of I-10 into a county in both counties. I know population-wise it wouldn't work because of Pensacola and, you know, Perdido and Pensacola Beach, but just something along those lines is what you'd wind up doing. So anyway, back to this conversation. It had been proposed that maybe we don't need to have meetings in Tiger Point because it's challenging. Very few people come. That's true historically. Very few people come to the meetings anyway, unless there's some issue. You know, on the regular, you have, 5 to 10 people come to these meetings in general. And if there's something, then 50 show up. You know, but if there's nothing happening much, nobody much comes. And so the argument has been, well, if you don't have it in the South End, then you take away the right of the people in Tiger Point, Midway, Gulf Breeze, Navarre to really weigh in on their government and confront their government and, you know, assert their First Amendment and petition their government for redress of grievances or something like that. But of course, they can still come to Milton. And the question is, does it make more sense to move the whole operation to them, or does it make more sense to ask them to drive up to Milton? You know, there's arguments to be made on both sides, but the public, hearing that they were thinking about ditching the quarterly meetings at Tiger Point, showed up in some force. Okay, half dozen people showed up to raise their concerns about that issue.
And the best way to use this community is by letting us, the residents who live here, come and address you. As I get older, it's harder for me to... Don't laugh when I'm talking, please. You make little smirks, Commissioner Calkins, and we don't appreciate that. We're nervous. Okay, thank you.
I didn't. You couldn't make out what he says, but it's something along the lines of he didn't mean to. It wasn't doing it at her, something like that. Oh, I think I didn't do my proper job. If we're gonna have drama, You got to have drama music. if we're gonna do this properly, then you know you've got to have the setup for it, right? Because otherwise, just it's not really fair to go into it that way. Oh, now there it is. Okay.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Can't have an opera without the music.
But we get nervous. I as I age, I get nervous. It's hard for me to drive. I don't like driving at night, so I really appreciate being able to come up here and use this facility.
As you know, there's been talk lately about stopping the BOCC meetings down here at the Tiger Point Community Center because of the building being inefficient. I've heard that, and that the technology is dysfunctional. And there is one other thing that I would like to say, Mr. Calkins, if I could have your attention for a second. You may not have been laughing at Liz Pavlik, but you certainly were laughing at Jean Kinnear when she mentioned global warming and climate change. And people do believe in that. There is a scientific basis, and we do not appreciate being laughed at. Thank you very much.
Ah, now we have an opera. All right. So, yeah, and he was. He was chuckling at the one of the gals that had gotten up and had mentioned about her concerns about global warming, which, of course, he does not believe in. I haven't heard him really discourse on it particularly, but it's pretty – which I have my own question. I don't believe man-made global warming, if you want to put it that way. I don't really have much of an opinion about climate change in general, but about humans contributing to it, that's the issue. And the claims that you can somehow remedy that with, you know, carbon offsets and all of this, that's the part that I would object to. I'm sure he would too. 437-1620, but if somebody mentions it in a meeting and you laugh at him or laugh to yourself or chuckle to yourself, it's an involuntary reflex sometimes. Sometimes you should control your reflexes a little bit better. Sometimes you insult a lady, and, you know, better to not insult a lady. And I will tell you, this is probably why I shouldn't be a county commissioner, because I, among other reasons, I would have a hard time not laughing. I would be the guy who'd be like, when somebody says something especially silly. And so then I'd get, you know, scolded by the public for being mean to him. 437-1620. So they're having this conversation about the Tiger Point Community Center. And basically, Carrie Smith had said it doesn't make sense to keep doing this. And James Calkins has said, no, we ought to have it. We can overcome all of these challenges, which is interesting because, you know, he's a North Ender. Okay, the North End is Sam Parker, Kerry Smith, and James Calkins. He's the extreme North End, all up to the Alabama line from where he represents, even though the whole county votes for everybody. And then, you know, you have Commissioner Eddington, which is Navarre-ish, and then you have Colton Wright, which is Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point-ish. I mean, the lines are a little fuzzy. But, you know, that's roughly about right. And so Colton Wright basically says, look, I don't mind, you know, I actually support continuing to come here. It makes sense. But, you know, maybe we should also include Jay. Like, let's not just have the roaming Board of County Commissioners show in Tiger Point. Let's every once in a while go to Jay. Let's go to some different places. And, you know, it's not that the Tiger Point Community Center isn't good. It's very good. It's important for a lot of stuff.
This facility is very important. It is used a lot more than what I think people realize. You know, there's a lot of HOA meetings here. I haven't been to one, but there's even wrestling that happens here, professional wrestling. One of these days, I think I need to come check that out. As long as we're not damaging our chairs over the backs of another wrestler, I'm okay with it.
I think I've told you many times. When I was looking at jobs, when I was working in Oregon at the network, and that job went away, and I'm looking at jobs, and, you know, one of the jobs was Toledo, and I was going to be an afternoon producer for their talk show, and one of the other jobs was coming here and being the morning show guy. And what did I say? Not doing mornings. Not doing local news, because local news is boring. But wait, wait until you get addicted to watching all these meetings and knowing all these personalities and seeing what they bicker about and why they bicker and what they pretend to put on as a facade of support and what's not real. I mean, it is. It's an opera, you know, and it's a funny little dysfunctional opera, but it's our opera. 521 on News Radio 92.3. So the takeaway there is they're going to find out how much it's really going to cost to equip the the tech people to be able to do the meetings at not just Tiger Point, but theoretically at any remote location. And then they're planning to continue doing meetings at Tiger Point as well as Milton, with the possibility of trying to see what might happen to do them up in Jay once in a while. Which, by the way, I think is a great idea, and I think that Escambia County ought to do something like this too. I think that Escambia County ought to have the traveling commissioner show once in a while. Maybe once a quarter is about right. You know, do a meeting on Pensacola Beach. Do a meeting in Perdido. You know, I appreciate the commissioners who do town halls because that's going to the people, but it's one thing to go one commissioner at a time when you don't have any power, one vote, but go there with the whole meeting. You know, go to Century. You know, go to Beulah. It's a pain for people in Beulah to get to the downtown meeting. It's a pain for people on the beach. It's probably easier for people in Pensacola Beach to get there than people in Beulah, and certainly easier than people who live up in Century or, you know, Pickett, right? Go there. You might get nothing from it. It might be the same kind of thing in Santa Rosa that you just get a couple of people show up, the regulars, and maybe not too many other people. Fine. But you try. You know, it's worth giving it a shot. Now, it's going to be inconvenient for staff, but then again, some of them probably live closer there anyway. It would be interesting to see what would be different and whether people, you know, realizing that a meeting is coming to them instead of them having to come to the meeting, might not show up and talk in the public forum about the things that they care about. I'm for it if we can do it. So I will talk to Wes Moreno about this on Thursday, the county administrator, and see if there's not an application for Escambia County. You know, it may be prohibitively expensive, or which I don't think, because we have a pretty good, media relations organization. They know how to do the town halls. They could do a Board of County Commissioners meeting just as easily, I would think. But, there may be technical reasons it can't be done. But I like it as an idea, you know, once a quarter, something like that. Reach out to the four corners of Escambia County and kind of see what they might have to say. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the #1 dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their 7 locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night starting at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's the last month to bring out a blanket and lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown, playing a little bit of everything, including classic rock and blues. Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Crosstown.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Sweetie, remember last night? Do you remember when you woke up and you said you were here?
Uh-huh. Well, who did you mean? Who's here?
The TV people.
Bodies, you didn't move the head. You only moved the headstones. Oh, that movie holds up though. Really, have you watched Poltergeist in the last like 5 or 6 years?
Yes, it's still scary.
It is. Even that's a good movie.
Cheeto thing. Yeah,
I'll never look at a tennis ball the same. 5:26 yes. Here on News Radio 92.3.
Your daughter.
Oh wow, yeah, no, she's great. Creepy stuff
shape,
around that
yeah.
movie though. Carol Ann dies as a young girl, like 12, after filming all three movies. The other daughter died.
The middle daughter passed.
Yeah.
Right. Killed by her boyfriend.
Don't ask too many questions.
And they used real bodies in that movie, by the way, because they were cheaper.
Really?
Yes.
You're welcome, everybody. I'm going to stop asking questions now.
Yeah.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Israel plans to start distributing assault rifles to volunteer teams in border communities and mixed Jewish-Arab towns. The nation's national security minister outlined that plan in a social media post yesterday. They say at least 10,000 rifles are going to be handed out, as well as helmets and flak jackets to the people
Good.
There.
It makes sense.
Absolutely. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now running as an independent. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there.
He's running in stereo is what it is.
It's weird. You know, you have these news articles up, and then all of a sudden, audio starts playing from who knows where.
I know.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now running as an independent in his bid for the White House. Kennedy Jr. Was running for president as a Democrat. He tells his supporters in Philadelphia that he decided to make a change, and he'll begin his run in the spring against President Biden.
By the way, about him, is I wish you could have played the audio from him speaking, because when you listen to him, what you think is too old to be president. Even though he's younger,
right.
He's only 69, but he sounds 130. I mean...
Well, isn't 130 about the minimum age to run?
Yeah, these days. Yeah, almost old enough to be president when you're 130.
And speaking of president, President Biden will be delivering remarks today on the situation in Israel, and he'll be speaking at about noon. And so I'm sure we'll probably be carrying that this afternoon.
Let's just say we're probably going to carry it at least in part.
Yes, a portion.
Because there's been times when we've carried all of President Biden's comments and everyone regretted that decision.
Right.
Every single person regretted it. Every listener, every salesman, every advertiser, because, you know.
Small doses.
You know, the stuff that matters. We'll just put it that way. And pretty much the stuff that matters in his comments is usually about the first 4 or 5 seconds. The first 4 or 5 minutes maybe. And then... the last minute, if there's going to be fireworks or news, is going to be in the last minute of the press conference. And mostly that's going to be, Mr. President, we have a question. I'm not allowed to answer you. They didn't put it on my card. I got to go. So that's not actual audio from a presentation, but it's a TV adaptation based on a true story. Right. So.
Right. Absolutely.
David, would you say noon for Biden's going to speak our time?
Yes. Noon is the time they've put out
so
far.
That's if he doesn't put a lid on the daily activities so that he can attend the barbecue.
Oh, that's true.
Twice.
You don't want to miss that.
Saturday and also yesterday. Just got to stop all the activities because we're in the middle of a war, but it's important to have the lunch. You know, just got to make sure you protect the important stuff. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3 Candy. I love getting Candy's look. You didn't know that? He did that twice.
I'm aware. I just... God, you
guys. We're done. We're done. All war right. in Israel? Mm-mm. No more press. It's over for the day. We're done in here. What else do we have going on? Oh, interesting. We'll talk a lot about this later. The settlement has now been reached in the COVID-19 lawsuit, the data lawsuit that was brought by Guillermo Smith, a state representative, against the state for... going to from the once a day reporting to the once a week to the once every 2 weeks and not reporting the deaths by county. Now they have to, and they paid a settlement for legal fees over that. Good for him, even though he's a Democrat. Good
Fox
for him.
News. I'm Chris Foster. It's day 4 of Israel's war against Hamas, with at least 900 deaths, including 11 Americans now confirmed in Israel, and 700 Palestinians killed since Saturday. Noy Lieb lives in New York City and flew to Israel to fight.
My actual two brothers and the rest of my brothers here are already on base getting ready to fight. There was no way that I was going to stay in New York and let them do that. So it was a quick decision. I got on the first flight and I was in Israel within 12 hours.
It's on Fox and Friends First. The Israeli military has been pounding Gaza with airstrikes and says the border is now resecured. A Republican presidential candidate drops out of the race.
Former Texas Congressman Will Hurts endorsing former U.N. ambassador and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, explaining in a statement, he feels Haley is the best candidate to navigate complex challenges the nation faces, particularly when it comes to national security.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Her did not qualify for either Republican debate. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is partly cloudy and 58 degrees here in Pensacola. The investigation continuing into the IT data security breach in the First Judicial Court District. The court now says the extent of that data breach is still being looked into, but for now, court proceedings will resume as scheduled. A news release says the breach affected certain applications used by the courts, but they don't believe it affected the actual court records in any of the four counties in the First District. It is also unclear at this point whether any personal information was exposed in that breach. Well, there was some discussion. Ultimately, the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners is going to keep meeting once a quarter at the Tiger Point Community Center in Gulf Breeze.
Hard to ask. Every quarter we have meetings down here. And so that's not too much. I think it's it gives them an opportunity to get their voices heard without having to drive all the way up to Milton.
District 3's James Calkins and Commission Chairman Colton Wright says that currently the audio and video equipment at that facility isn't up to par. They are looking into making some upgrades there. Escambia County officials say they're very much aware that ECAT needs a bit of an overhaul. They're working on that. Mass Transit Director Rodriguez Kimbrough says in the summer a comprehensive operational analysis was done, which showed there's too many stops and too many routes that need overlapping.
Taking the time that it takes to actually ride our service, currently right now to get from point A to point B, it actually takes about 2 hours if you wanted to ride our service. That's not normal transit.
And he tells Channel 3 that their system is about 20 years old now. Possible changes including removing some stops and introducing microtransit, which would keep larger buses on the main roads and smaller vehicles moving throughout the neighborhoods. A local state representative looking to reduce the mandatory waiting period for Floridians that want to buy a gun.
District 3 Representative Joel Rudman filed the bill last week for the upcoming legislative session that starts in January. Currently, the minimum wait time is 3 days before someone can buy a firearm from a licensed seller. The proposed bill, though, reads that residents could wait 3 days or until they complete a records check, whichever comes first.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. Today is an important deadline for thousands of Citizens Property Insurance policyholders. About 300,000 customers have to respond by today to letters they got from a private insurer about a policy change. If you're one of those Citizens Insurance customers that got a letter, you have to notify the private insurer if you plan to accept or deny the offer. A spokesman for the Insurance Information Institute says it is crucial to respond. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a cloudy day today with temperatures warming up near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, slightly warmer, temperatures near 66 degrees. For Wednesday, expect a wet day. We will have 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 58 in Pensacola. It's 60 in Gulf Breeze and 53 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2.
and Joe and Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then Dave Ramsey takes over.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie. It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. Let me note that, again, it's nice outside. 2 days in a row. So just, go ahead and get used to it. It's all right. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as we typically do on a Monday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I need to invite you to a golf tournament, apparently, because that's what I wear when I go golfing.
I got you. All right, you just want to invite me over to show me up, I'm sure. So, okay, fair enough. I am a... I'm a fudge and mulligan bogey golfer, if you know what that means.
I know exactly what that means because I'm one too.
I hit it straight and long every fourth or fifth hole. So, you know, that's the way it goes for me.
See, for me, it's either I hit it straight or I hit it long. I can't do both.
Oh, well, you know, the problem is when it's short and not straight. Hook it in the woods. that's great. And I love to play golf. I don't get to play it very often, but I do love to play. The only thing that I had on my list for you for this week was what I'm kind of calling the mama bear bus arrest. Is this woman who was, I guess, upset about some of the yelling at the kids that she'd heard on a phone and got there and the bus driver was belligerent with her is kind of the allegation. But you can't go on a school bus and then you got to leave when you're told to leave, right?
Yeah, correct. I know if you have a child on the bus and they're in danger, obviously you need to do what you have to do. But if you're just getting in an argument with the driver, that's no bueno. And she got on the bus and was told to exit several times, never did. And then stuff happens.
Yeah, the law is, as you say, there might be certain very rare circumstances, but generally speaking, the law here is pretty clear because we just can't have, it's school property, right? The bus is school property and you can't go there without permission, basically, right?
Correct. And it's not your child on that bus. There's usually it's loaded with about 50 others. So,
we're kind of losing you a little bit. I'm sorry. Can you say that last part again, Sheriff?
Yeah, I said, there's like 50 other kids on that bus, too. So if you're one of their parents, how do you feel about another parent getting on that bus and yelling and screaming? I mean, it's not a good scenario.
Yeah. So she's been, charged? She's been released on bond. What's kind of her status now?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure she bonded out pretty quickly.
Okay. There was no arrest of like the bus driver or anything like that. And that would seem to me more likely to be the school would investigate if there were claims of misbehavior by the bus driver, right? We lose the sheriff entirely. I'm sorry. Sheriff, are you still there, sir?
Yep, I am. I'm in a bad area of my county, unfortunately.
Well, you found the one.
bad area for reception, not criminals.
I know. So that would be, if there was misbehavior by the bus driver, unless it's a crime, that would just be internal to the school district, right?
Yes, yes, that's 100% school district business. If they do break the law, obviously they come to us, and then we take care of that part as well.
Right. The I don't think there's been anything else that sort of rise to the level that we would usually talk. I mean, you always have domestic incidents. You always have, you know, speeding and stuff like that. But anything else from this last week that we need to know about?
No, actually, it's been pretty quiet. I'm telling you, we're having a run right here, and I don't want to spoil it, but... yeah, it's been pretty nice.
We'll always take it. One thing I did want to ask you about, just because it came up on Friday, I had a couple of guests in here, and we were talking about homelessness and panhandling, and the observation was that there seemed to be, in the visible sense, there's far fewer visible homeless in Santa Rosa County, panhandling on corners, you know, bothering people, that kind of stuff. And, you know, one suggestion was that there are fewer services to draw them in Santa Rosa County. Another suggestion is there just are fewer in Santa Rosa County for whatever reason. But the other thing that was said was that this person thought that there was a stronger enforcement against that in Santa Rosa County. And I was going to give you a chance to talk about that if you'd like to.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a county ordinance against panhandling, and we enforce it aggressively. And that's why you don't see people on the street corners here. We do have them. They're transient. They'll come through and they'll stand on a corner and with a sign, and one of our citizens will call. We'll respond out there, and we don't arrest them on the first time. We say, look, you're in Santa Rosa County. We have an ordinance against this. If you continue to do it, you will be arrested. And then they go elsewhere. I think it's just common sense that if you have a law and you enforce it, you know, vigorously, people are going to start obeying it.
So what does the law prohibit specifically? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot with the verbiage or anything, but what does the law actually prohibit? Because we've had a lot of challenges in the city of Pensacola and in Escambia County, legal challenges over this stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know the exact verbiage, but it basically says that you can't ask people for money in a public place, on a public street or right away, that kind of thing, a county right away. You can't stand on it asking for money unless you have a permit. You always have these people, these organizations, the 501c3s that'll come up and they'll get a permit, and then they'll stand, you know, around and have the sign or carrying the fireman's boot or something, you know, and they have a permit to do that lawfully. But you can't just get a cardboard sign and stand on a street corner in Santa Rosa County and ask for money and start, you know, knocking on people's car windows.
Okay. No, that's very interesting. And you routinely see what I call the Bible yellers, you know, sometimes on the street corner, like Creighton and Davis or somewhere in that vicinity. And I've never seen that in like Gulf Breeze or anywhere in Santa Rosa County either. It's sort of a, you know, across the spectrum, lower level of corner accosting of whatever the nature is. So very interesting. No, that's very interesting. I'm going to talk to Sheriff Simmons about this tomorrow and just kind of get his perspective as well. But I wanted to get yours too. I'm sorry. Anything else you wanted to add to that? I don't mean to interrupt you if you were not done.
No, that's pretty much it. And I tell you what, it's our citizens know about the ordinance, and that's the eyes and ears of the sheriff's office. They'll call us and say, hey, he's standing on the corner in Gulf Breeze or whatever, and then we'll go out there and we'll fix the problem. So
very good. Well, interesting. Now that's very interesting, both for our county commission and for our sheriff. So I will convey that, and we'll see if maybe there's not a better way to do it here in Escambia County. Sheriff Bob Johnson, the sheriff in Santa Rosa County, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
And that is a conversation. I was actually reading the ordinances yesterday, and, you know, I do plan to have that conversation with Sheriff Chip Simmons, because I thought it was, you know, when Mike Kimbrell made the claim, you know, I didn't want to take it with too much weight, just because I know, you know, Mike's got his biases. I have my biases too. But when I asked the, you know, Sheriff Johnson, he says kind of the same thing. It's like, well, you know, we have this law and we enforce it, and that works. I mean, I'm going to find out from, you know, we'll talk to Mike Wood on Thursday about PPD in the city, and, you know, we'll talk to Sheriff Simmons about this in the county. But I was reading over the law, and so Santa Rosa's law is very, very simple. It's very easy to understand. It's first of all, you have to have a solicitation permit. I do not think that is true in Escambia County, and I may have missed the ordinance. I didn't know everywhere to look, so I may be wrong about that. But in Santa Rosa, you have to have a solicitation permit. And it's a fairly high fee. It's like about, I mean, in relative terms, it's a buck a day, okay? It's $95 plus a $5 fee for 90 days. It's $185 for 180 days. You know, you get the point. It's, you know, it's a buck a day, basically, to be able to panhandle or to solicit or to ask for whatever. There are exemptions from this requirement for people running for political office, religious organizations, food delivery, and newspaper. It's kind of a funny collage of alternatives. You do have to pass a background check. So if you have a criminal background, you'll fail the background check and you will not get a solicitation permit in Santa Rosa County, which could be an issue for some people who would want to panhandle, right? You get a $25 ding on your, what you paid, and then you get the rest of your money back, basically. Can't solicit after 7 o'clock and before 9 a.m., so, which is, you know, fairly normal. And here's what it actually reads. It shall be unlawful for any person to solicit or canvass from in or on any public roads, streets, rights of way, that's on the margin near the street, medians, or safety zones, including sidewalks in the county. So all of those places, including sidewalks. Now, in Escambia, it's a little bit different. You can't stop on a median. Like, if you're a pedestrian, you're not supposed to be standing on a median unless you're just crossing traffic and trying to be safe. And then there's all kinds of ways that it sort of says the same thing, but I find it kind of confusing. You can't solicit or attempts I'm just looking through the list here. It is unlawful for any person to solicit, beg, or panhandle in the unincorporated areas of Escambia County in the following areas or under the following circumstances. One, on any day after sunset or before sunrise. See, that's a normal thing. Two, when either the panhandler or the person being solicited is located at any of the following locations: at a bus stop, in any public transportation vehicle, in any public transportation facility. So that'd be, again, bus stops and, you know, bus areas. In a vehicle, which is, that's how I read it. Public doesn't mean your car. Public means a public bus. In a vehicle which is parked or stopped on a public street or alley, in a sidewalk cafe, within 20 feet from any ATM machine, it says, which it's just an ATM, or entrance to a bank, within 20 feet of a public toilet. I don't know, but there it is. So you can't get accosted coming out the portable, from any operator or a motor vehicle. Yeah, I mean, you got to have your zone. You know, there's got to be a safety zone around the portalette. From any operator of a motor vehicle that is in traffic on a public street, provided, however, that this prohibition shall not apply to services rendered in connection with emergency repairs requested by the owner or passengers of such vehicle, or within 1/2 mile of any exit or entry ramp to I-10 or I-110. And then there's a whole separate section on aggressive panhandling that's on top of all of that. So you would think the ordinance is already there. You know, you would, again, I think, you know, honestly, if it works in Santa Rosa, just delete all of this nonsense and pass whatever Santa Rosa has and then let the sheriff enforce it would be my suggestion, because God knows we all know this is a problem. So we'll see when I talk to Sheriff Simmons, you know, what he thinks about that. And then obviously if he says that would be the better solution, or that's the reason he can't really do much is because of the way the law is currently written. Well, you know, we'll see what we do from there. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to make a good, informed choice, that means getting good information from an expert. That's Christina Leavenworth. And listen, she sells a lot of homes, like 230 homes sold last year. So she knows. You know, whatever you're going to ask, she knows. And, you know, I know she has the kind of humility to say, like, if she doesn't know, if you manage to find some unusual enough question that she doesn't know, she'll find an answer for you. And she doesn't mind saying that. I know she wouldn't. But she likes talking to people and answering your questions and helping you figure out, is now the time? Should we wait? You know, do we act really fast to get it done with? And by the way, a lot of these homes that she sells, they sell in a couple of days. Very common. Even still, like, you might think the market slowed down a lot, but even still, that does happen. Now, you know, I can't promise you in any individual case it's going to be this fast or for this amount of money, but neither would she. I'm just telling you that they're very efficient. They make you feel like you're their only client, and they are very, very good both at the buying and the selling. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
This fall in Pensacola, Florida, celebrate 10 years of FUFU. This year promises to be bigger, funner, and, well, artier. Engaging art installations, livelier music, more amazing cuisine, and a vibrant culture that's contagious. Discover it all this fall. Come celebrate 10 years of FUFU Fest, November 2nd through the 13th in Pensacola, Florida. Start planning at FUFUFest.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm gonna have to take back one of your lollipops. What did you say to me? Three Stooges?
I'm sorry, it's a Mel Brooks film.
It's funny because, that like from Blazing Saddles, and I was watching that the other day.
Boy, you cannot show that today.
Let's just say that I have to very judiciously edit.
I bet.
Blazing Saddles clips.
Candy Graham from Mongo.
I was thinking about that, too, because they still play it, unedited, which is...
Well, I mean, I'm sure people take it in satire, which is what it's meant to be.
But, gosh, dude,
you can't quote it.
There's a lot of N-word use in that movie.
But it makes a point.
But it's to show racism by being overtly racist as an example of why you shouldn't be racist, So it's
Don't quote those lines out loud now because everybody has seen those movies and may think otherwise. So but yes, it's a funny movie. I love Mel Brooks.
My favorite in that direction is where where Mel Brooks calls over the sheriff and do you know that man is a...
Yeah.
And he doesn't say it, but then he calls Hedy Lamarr. Do you know that man is a...
Yeah.
it's funny,
It's Hedley.
That's right. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The FBI is on the ground in Israel to look for Americans impacted by the Hamas attacks and ongoing conflict there. The agency posted on social media that reports of dead, injured, and missing Americans are being treated with the utmost urgency. So far, at least 11 Americans have been killed so far since those attacks over the weekend. And again, President Biden scheduled to speak at noon today about this. Social media platforms could be held accountable for failing to curb the spread of child sexual abuse material. Under a new law, Instagram, TikTok, and other social media platforms could be banned for knowingly facilitating child sexual exploitation. That law would go into effect on January of 2025.
Is that a state law or a federal law?
I believe that is a federal law.
Okay. Interesting.
And Amazon's second Prime Day sale is here today. Everybody's probably been getting these notifications on their phone because I know mine's been going off nonstop.
You can turn that off.
Oh, I need to.
Dude, use the Prime.
I turn off all my notifications basically except for messaging. That's the only one I care about. So, you know, everything else is, I don't want to know.
But if your pocket is vibrating today, it's just Amazon telling you got to buy stuff.
Whoa.
That's what's going on.
What's happening
Just so you
now?
Know. Amazon, they're in your pocket. They're everywhere. You can't get away from them.
Is that Amazon in your pocket?
That's true.
Anyway, all right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. I don't know. there we go. We're moving on. Additions and deletions to the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. I thought this was kind of interesting. Every venue likes to propose different things that they might add to the sports, exhibition, demonstration sports, and then sometimes they'll take stuff away. I thought this was kind of a fascinating list. Just, you know, I hadn't been paying a lot of attention to it. But one of the additional sports that they're going to try to get that they're going to play in the 2028 Olympics is flag football. No joke. I'm not kidding. That's not a punchline.
Why?
We're going to have flag football in the Olympics. I don't know. Because something.
Pickleball's not hip enough yet.
That's next. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Other sports on Los Angeles list include baseball and softball, which count as one sport, which had been in Tokyo in 2021, but are not going to be played in Paris, which is, you know, I mean.
The Olympics are in Paris?
Yeah, the next time around, yeah.
Oh, God.
And then lacrosse is an ad for 2028, squash for 2028, and cricket, of all things. So we're not going to play baseball. We are going to play baseball, sorry. But then we're going to play cricket also. So that's only been, there was only one time that cricket, and if you've, Candy, have you ever seen a cricket match?
Just on TV.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. Have you ever, mm-hmm. If I showed you a sporting event, would you even recognize
it? Yeah, with that
cricket?
Weird bat.
They got
sure.
The three little sticks and the stick across the sticks and the guy with the funny bat and it looks like he's, you know, looks like a pledge paddle for a fraternity or something.
It does.
Which is kind of the shape of it.
That's
and
so
then,
funny.
And then the little tiny ball and, you know, they're bowling it at you and it's bouncing, it's not bouncing, and you're trying to hit it to the perimeter. Okay, if you don't know the rules to cricket, well, join the other 7 billion people. Join the other 6 billion people because there's 1.5 billion people in India who do know the rules to cricket and that's why they're doing this, to expand the market for marketing the Olympics into India and Pakistan. Cricket is very likely going to be played at the 2028 games. That's, of course, they're going to have to teach everybody the rules because nobody's going to know the rules. It's going to be a scaled down version of cricket. So it's going to be a shorter version of the game. So now it'll only be 4 days long instead of 100 days long. Apparently also, and I did not know this, breakdancing will not be returning.
There is a breakdancing Olympic?
It's upcoming.
No.
Breakdancing is going to debut in Paris next year. And then never be done again. I didn't know that either. I thought that was kind of wild. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Other sports.
Je voudrais pop and lock. I mean, what do you?
You did want it.
Where is the pop and lock? No, I don't know.
I
would like.
You want
to
argue conjugations
was,
here on the radio? That's terrible radio.
Excuse me.
But sure. No, I love that you know that. Others not making the cut: motorsports, kickboxing, and karate. So
they're not going to have karate, but
exactly. Okay. So we're going to have flag football. But we're not going to have kickboxing and whatever.
But we're not going to Electric Boogaloo from 1982. That's okay. But okay.
Come on. Where are all my B-boys at? Which, by the way, Paris is a major hub for dancing. Like, it's one of those.
Oh, it is?
You maybe don't know this. I only know it because we watch, World of Dance and, you know, the dancing shows. And so it kind of comes up that a lot of times the French performers come over here and compete in the American shows. And they're usually very. Japan, same thing.
Oh, I didn't know.
A lot
that.
Of Japanese, so. Okay, you've exhausted my knowledge, or I've exhausted my knowledge now on that front. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Andrew McKay. Thanks for listening.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.